I know they had been talking about changing the burial location a little bit of where Greg is to, so that he and Dwayne and Barry could all be enclosed in the same area at the cemetery. Have you heard anything if Rose Hill has done anything or is planning on doing anything?
No, that's still up for discussion. You know, it's really a fine balance between trying to preserve what's already there and trying to make something beautiful for him.
Right.
So we're still sort of trying to figure that out.
Right.
But I will tell you, Melissa, because Gladriel and I are working on this together, one way or the other, the intent is going to be, whether Gregory has moved a little bit or not, the intention is, and we have been working with Parks and Recreation, is to enlarge the area so that they are all within a secure area together.
Okay.
And my understanding, Butch wants to be there,
right.
And so he's in an urn right now, and you know, there'll be a memorial wall behind all of the graves where Butch will be, and you know, the rest of the family is welcome to come home as well. So we're working with Parks and Recreation, but we're still several months away from doing that because it's public property.
Right.
It's an old cemetery. They have to move some lines that run underneath the stairs that separate where Greg and Dwayne and Barry are right now, etc.
Mm-hmm. That would be really nice to have just a whole big memorial area for everyone related to the band, so people could, that'd be quite a destination for fans to come pay their respects to everybody.
Yep.
And Galadriel, I guess that would be something you would certainly welcome to have everybody together, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we want to make it a family plot for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Melissa and I were at the funeral together. Galadriel, I'm so sorry about your loss because I know you were very close to Greg. Tell me what the feeling was there. Melissa and I were blown away. I mean, we went as members of the press, but of course, we're huge fans. Atlanta's my home and I grew up with the Allman Brothers Band. So to be there and to know that we were all welcome there was a great gift to Allman Brothers fans. But how did it feel from your end of things? I thought it was an amazing day.
It was a really amazing day in every way. There was sort of the most beautiful blue sky and just incredible showing of love for him. It was just an incredible, everything about it was amazing. To see the fans turn out in the numbers they did was really incredibly moving for all of us. And it sort of helped to know that we weren't alone in it and people were so respectful, you know, especially in Rose Hill Cemetery where we didn't expect fans to be able to be there with us, but they were absolutely so silent. All you could hear was a mockingbird singing for the whole service. It was really, really beautiful. And inside of the actual service, I felt like his children and I and Michael and his best friend, Chank Middleton, we all really did our best to open our hearts and talk about what he meant to us. And it was really moving. It was really intimate, you know.
Were you still there at the very end of the burial service when the train went rolling by?
Yeah.
Was that incredible?
Really.
That was such a moment.
Katie
and I just stopped and looked at each other like, wow, that's you couldn't have written that any better.
No, it was really kind of a magical place. It's a magical place anyway.
It
you know,
is.
There's such history there and such a feeling of being sort of down in a valley with the water there and the train tracks and the big old growth trees. It's really, it's a comfort to be able to put him somewhere beautiful and a place that he was really familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And of course,
to have my father there.
You and I spoke a couple of years ago when your book came out, and you mentioned that you try to get down there once a year to visit your dad's grave. So are you still trying to do that? Do you get down there pretty regularly?
Yeah, I really try to. It's especially with the Big House Museum, it's really a destination for kind of reconnecting for
mm-hmm.
me. And I think that'll be even more important to me now that going to see Gregory isn't an option, you know, where
right.
I can go and at least visit him at Rose Hill.
I just, again, have to tell you that I think it's very generous of you to be. We didn't think the fans were going to be in there either. And it was kind of shocking when once the whole procession went through the gates, all of a sudden these people just kind of poured in. And I was like, wow, is this going to be not good or is this going to be good? It was just chilling to see it. And then to think about you guys going, this is a very private moment. But they left you alone, didn't they?
Yeah, well, it was interesting. I was walking out of the limo and it was really emotional to drive through the streets and see everyone there. So I was still pretty tearful and was sort of looking at my shoes, being careful not to trip because it was sort of rough terrain. And suddenly I looked up and there was someone within an arm's reach of me and then just people as far as I could see all the way around. And it was completely silent. You know, with your eyes closed, you wouldn't have known they were there. So I really couldn't have wished for a better outcome because at the end of the day, it felt like they were really just there to witness it and to support it. And we had initially wanted it to be private, but it couldn't have really been more beautiful than it was.
I would add to that and totally concur because the initial thought was that it was going to be private. And then once we realized and had some meetings with the mayor's office and the police department and Secret Service and realized that there was such an outpouring of love. And again, again, I don't think any of us in the family or myself even recognized how important Greg was to Macon and to Georgia and to the country and to the world, honestly. And it was probably because we were all so close to him, even though we loved his music and knew it was powerful, we had no idea. And once we met with the officials and realized that there was going to be an outpouring of love, the decision was made. We really didn't have much of a choice, because it was the right decision to make, which was to allow fans and visitors to line the streets from the funeral home to the cemetery. And then the cemetery was kind enough, and the city was kind enough, not to let any other vehicles in, because it would have been a traffic jam and really difficult, but to allow fans to come down by foot to pay their respects. And as Gladriel said, it was a beautiful setting, and it reminded many of us, like, what had occurred at so many shows, where there were always fans and radio listeners and friends that were welcome to be around the stage area and sometimes on the side of the stage or backstage. And they were always quiet and respectful, but got to participate in the show differently. And in a way, this was the final gift that Gregory and the family gave, which was allowing their fans to be so close and intimate to such a private moment.
I grew up in Atlanta. As I was leaving and walking away, somebody shouted my name to me, and I turned around, and it was guys I hadn't seen since sixth grade.
Wow.
And I'm 57, and wow, these guys were like, they came all the way from Atlanta. They had no idea how close they'd be able to be, but there were three of them, and their whole young into adult lives was all about loving the Allman Brothers Band. And for them to be able to get in and be close, they didn't expect it, but it was so, I mean, Melissa actually did a little piece in the paper about them because it was so touching. Thank you for that. I just had to let you know that was very gracious.
That's great.
Well, it's always a really fine balance with Rose Hill in particular, of finding a way to welcome the fans and have a place where they can pay their respects and spend time there, because it is so beautiful, and also really wanting it to be protected. So
yeah,
we have absolute understanding that having Gregory there and potentially Butch trucks there, it'll increase the number of people that want to be there. And we can only hope that it will remain as peaceful as it's been, and people will really respect how fragile and old it is. I mean, it's a Civil War era cemetery, and mm-hmm. But we feel so grateful that he'll never be alone. There'll always be people there. It's pretty touching.
That's
very cool. Well, Gladriel, speaking of historical things, so this last album that Greg did, from what I understand, he was pretty adamant about wanting to record it at Muscle Shoals, which certainly has a history, you know, with your dad and with the band. And when you heard that, I mean, what was your reaction to it?
Oh, you know, it's one of my big regrets that I didn't go to see it happen, because I had really wanted to. And that was my first thought, is, oh, I have to be there, you know, because it's such a special place. And I had been there on my own a few times. I went down there for research to talk to the different studio musicians that my father played with there, and of course to talk to Rick Hall and Rodney Hall, the father and son that worked there. The father worked with my father, and Rodney Hall was working on this album, and it just felt like a homecoming. And I think he really wanted to tap into that feeling of being in an authentic, beautiful room with history that connected back to my father. And it was such a beautiful thought, and it really is such a special place. Sonically, you know, that room sounds in a very particular way, very warm. It has that magic that I think is a very old idea, that you have this set of studio musicians and rooms that sounded in a particular way that became identifiable as, you know, the Muscle Shoals sound. So the fact that he wanted to be a part of that as well, I think was really so beautiful, and I think he really achieved it. You know, this record has this really intimate, warm, close-in sound where you can really hear his voice in a really clean, clear way, which I think is really owed to the work that they did there.
So far, I've only heard the first song, My Only True Friend. I was stunned at how strong Greg's voice sounded.
Yeah.
Either one of you mind speaking a little bit about at what point did we start recording this and what shape Greg was in at the time? Obviously, he knew that the end was imminent. Tell us a little bit about where he was when he was recording.
Sure. So this record was recorded in March of 2016. They were down at Muscle Shoals for 12 days. And Greg at that time, so Greg had been diagnosed with the reoccurrence of his liver cancer in 2012. He really kept that a complete secret for the 4.5 years until he had to go off the road at the end of Laid Back 2016 in Atlanta. because he didn't want anyone feeling sorry for him. He was a private person, and he enjoyed being out on the road and was concerned if the news was out that there was a great likelihood that the road life would cease to exist because promoters would not be willing to take the risk. So during that time from 2012 up until the time of recording, there were good days and bad days and everything in between, but Greg was never really bedridden other than a couple of times when he had pneumonia. Right before the recording session, he was having a little bit of a tough time. He had a really bad cold going into it, and Greg at that time had learned to manage his health care properly, so he really would spend the 4 or 5 hours that he was working, whether it be for a show or prepping or actually being in the recording studio, working. And the rest of the time, he was resting up, trying to eat healthy foods and drink protein shakes, et cetera, and just conserve his health. So what you have when he was in the studio was really the best of Greg. There were, I would say, 3 or 4 days where he wasn't feeling great. The rest of the days he was feeling really good. But because he was able to conserve his energy, he really nailed the 10 tracks that are on the record pretty much in typical Greg fashion in 1 or 2 takes. And it's a stunning, beautiful record. And you are right, Katie, his voice is really, really strong and rich, and there was really very little to do. There was almost nothing to fix, thank goodness.
And from what I read, everybody was in the studio together. It was recorded like a real album. None of this, you know, I'm going to email in my guitar part or any of that kind of stuff, right?
That's correct. Absolutely. It was, you know, everyone was in the room together and just had nailed it. What had happened is, I guess, towards the end of 2015, the band and Greg got together in Atlanta in a rehearsal studio with Don Was and actually rehearsed 3 or 4 days for Southern Blood. We then were starting our winter tour and then took the break to go into the studio, and the band spent the first 1 or 2 days just getting the sound right in the room and you know, making sure the engineers and everything were capturing everything. Greg was just laying down some test vocals, and then they just nailed it. But yeah, they basically nailed it. It was like a live session. It was really something.
I know the final song on the album, A Song for Adam, was one that Greg really wanted to include because it reminded him of Dwayne. And had he spoken much about that, either to you, Galadriel, or Michael?
About that song specifically?
Yeah.
No, it was a surprise for me, and I really think it's one of the most moving. I mean, honestly, each song has a different meaning for me, but that song in particular, and having Jackson Brown singing with him, it's such a testament to their friendship, and it also really does invoke my dad just lyrically. You know, it really is about loss, and a lot of the choices of songs from this album have nods to my dad to me. There's also a Tim Buckley song, If I Was, you know, the beautiful love song, and that was a song that my dad sang to my mother when they first met. He sang it acoustically to her in a club in St. Louis just to sort of impress her. So that was a song I think he and Dwayne would shed it around a lot. And there's a Johnny Jenkins song that my dad recorded, and a whole album with Johnny Jenkins, so it was a song from that album. And so there are lots of little nods to my dad all throughout this process. It's touching that was so much on his mind when he recorded this, and I think you can hear that kind of vulnerability in his voice, that he's thinking about his life.
Greg and a very few knew how sick he was, but he knew when he went into there to record this record that most likely this was going to be his last studio effort. And when these songs were curated and we were looking at different songs to pick for the record, it was very much on his mind that he wanted to think about family, think about his brother, his life's journey, all of that. And Song for Adam, Greg and Jackson connected in their late teenage years in L.A., and started together, and you know, were close early on, and even though they remained close during their lifetime, and Greg performed These Days for, I think, from the early 70s all the way through his last days, he didn't always interact with Jackson on a regular basis. They did reconnect in Atlanta for the Celebration concert that was held in 2014. And from that moment on, the bond was renewed in a very strong way. And I think, again, there was the connection to Galadriel's dad and Greg's brother, Dwayne, in Song for Adam. And also, it just, you know, it was a beautiful song that Greg loved. And it was a way of bringing the two of them together and full circle again as well.
One of my favorite songs is Willin' by Little Feat. Tell me about how and why he might have chosen that one.
Honestly, what happened, we connected with Don Was seriously at that celebration concert where Don was emptying. And then we had a meeting in L.A. with Greg and Don and his manager and started kicking around artists and songs that were meaningful to Greg. Don then put together a list of tracks based on that as well as Greg, and we all listened. And really, there was nothing in particular. Greg just settled on these tracks as songs that he connected with and loved and felt that he could interpret in a beautiful way. Galadriel can talk to the specialness of some of the songs as they can connect to Dwayne, and I can just talk as to the body of music as a whole, which was Greg was just tracing his life's journey, and each one of these had meaning, whether it was just a beautiful song or an artist that he loved over the course of his career, and as well as something that he felt he could interpret in a beautiful way.
Was he writing much in these last couple of years? Was that something that he still did on a regular basis?
He sat down to write over the last 6 months or a year. He actually was writing with Shannon, who he was engaged to and then ultimately married. Greg and Scott Sherrard wrote a little, but because he knew time was short, he was really focused on spending time with family, spending time at the house, and being on the road. Mm-hmm. And although he spoke about the fact that he wanted to write, every time he'd get off the road, within about a week or so, he would call me and say, "Mike, please book me some more dates. This is what makes me happy. I want to get back on the road." And that was his real focus. And I don't think he realized, because a cat has 9 lives, Gregory really had 99 lives. He didn't know when they were going to end until it was so close to the end that he didn't focus so much on the writing. He just focused on doing what he loved doing, which was playing live for his fans.
We know that, yeah, Melissa and I have talked about that because I've probably interviewed Greg 20 times over the years. We've talked about how different times in his life, you can kind of tell how he was doing by the strength of his voice. I remember talking to him about Jackson Browne maybe close to 10 years ago, and he wasn't sounding too good. I felt like I knew him well enough to know where he was and kind of how he was feeling.
Yep.
One of the times Melissa and I shared that both of you were there was that incredible show at the Fox Theater. And I'm telling you, that tribute to Greg Allman was incredible at the Fox. Would you both talk about that a little bit?
Well, Michael was really instrumental in putting that together. It was really incredible to be there. I had a really moving moment there when Sam Moore was on stage. Gregory was actually standing behind me in the wings. He had tears in his eyes, and he was just shaking his head and said, "I just never would have imagined I would get to hear Sam Moore singing one of my songs." You know, it was really so incredible. He looked like a little kid. You know, he just had this look of wonder on his face, and I think he really felt the huge impact that he made on so many different kinds of artists, and he really was becoming a part of the tradition of musicians that he loved his whole life. To have someone like Sam Moore of Sam and Dave singing his song, you know, it was just really coming full circle for him to have one of your heroes acknowledging you. And that was really, I was really so grateful to actually be able to stand there and watch him taking that in. And I left that night feeling like we really had done what we wanted to do, which is let him know how loved he was and how his songwriting in particular will outlast him. Not just his performances, but his writing. You know, to see other artists interpret your work, it's kind of a whole different level of contribution in a way.
So true, and I saw Greg cry several times as well that night. It was so memorable, and the genesis and the thought of the planning of this event was that there have been these celebration concerts, and most times they are done after the performer is already gone, and they are beautiful and compelling. I knew how sick Greg was, and I was hoping that we were going to be able to celebrate his life while he was still there. It was a race against time, and we were fortunate because when Greg had been diagnosed again in 2012, he was given a prognosis of 12 to 18 months with treatment, and he really declined treatment for various reasons. So wasn't sure if he was going to be there. The fact that Sam Moore and Jackson and Zach Brown and Eric Church and Widespread and the Brothers and on and on and on, all these artists came out to pay their respects and show their love, and the mayor's office and Del Bryant from BMI and all the other people that participated. I mean, I saw Greg cry so many times, and he was just so happy. And I saw Jackson cry when the two of them were rehearsing, because I did let Jackson in on Greg's health condition, because Jackson had a planned trip to Cuba, and I felt it was really important that he be there if he wanted to. And once I shared with him, there was no way he was going to miss it. So it all came together, and it was such a beautiful, loving tribute. And then actually 2 days later, we went down to Macon and recorded Back to Macon, mm-hmm. His live record that was put out a year after that. So it was a very productive time, and during a time that could have been so challenging and difficult, but I'm so happy that Greg and the family got to enjoy everything.
Good for you, by the way, because Melissa and I can remember we were talking about it at the time, and we weren't quite sure what to expect. And those things are just so organic. They seem to be around the Allman Brothers. It's like everybody just knows how to do it with class and what to do. Isn't it amazing? Talk to us about these three big events that are planned.
I'm going to be at the one in Los Angeles, and that's the one I'm really excited about. It's at the Grammy Museum, and I think that setting is really exciting because he had a Lifetime Achievement Grammy with the band, and he also had a Best Instrumental Grammy as well, so I'm sort of part of that musical family as well, being part of that tradition. And I think it's just going to be a really beautiful gathering and a beautiful place to listen to songs from the album, and my cousin Devin and some of the band members will be there, and his daughter Layla will be there, and we'll just take time to celebrate the album coming out. And then there are two more scheduled, Michael. There's Nashville.
Yep, there's two other events planned. So yeah, we're very excited because, as you said, the record comes out on the 8th. So the 7th, we have the event and celebration in LA, and also we will debut at that time the Blood Art painting that was painted by Vincent Castaglia based off of a Neil Preston photo, and that will travel to all three cities for this little tour. The second date will be in Macon on September 9th, which will be the official record release party, and we expect a big crowd there, and those tickets are open and on sale to the public right now. At that event, the mayor's office is going to issue a proclamation deeming that December 8th will be known as Greg Allman Day in the city of Macon. On that day, the mayor's office will also give the key to the city posthumously to Gregory's family and members of the Big House and whoever is there to accept it. And we will play the record start to finish. There'll be a roundtable discussion with Chank Middleton and Scott Sherrard and Devin Allman and myself, talking about Greg and his legacy, and then there'll be some music played by Scott and Devin. And then on September 15th in Nashville, the Americana Music Fest and the Grammys have come together to create an event that will take place at the Country Music Hall of Fame, also celebrating Greg's legacy with a great lineup of talent, including Joan Osborne and Buddy Miller and John Paul White from the Civil Wars, and Devin will be there, and they'll play music and talk about Greg's place in musical history and legacy. And so we're really excited about all of that. And, you know, there'll be more to come. We do expect that we are going to plan two very significant tributes to celebrate Greg's legacy and to raise a lot of money that will go to the two music scholarships that were set up, one at University of Georgia and one at Syracuse University at the music schools there. And then one other great event in the great state of Georgia will be on November 4th at University of Georgia, where Greg has one of the scholarships set up. The University of Georgia, University of South Carolina game, so a big rivalry, and the Red Hats, the marching band during halftime, are going to dedicate their show to Greg and play a bunch of his music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Great.
So we're excited about that as well.
Oh, that's amazing.
So Ken had mentioned that there might be something coming in Athens. Is that what you're referring to with the significant event at UGA?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I love that.
Yeah, and we'll have the scholarship recipients down there on the field, and we'll get to say hello to them, and then the band's going to blow away 100,000 people.
That is hysterical. Now, any plans for something in Atlanta?
I think there's hopefully going to be a lot more things to do. We do have our Laidback Festival that is coming back to Atlanta in October of this year. The festivals will move forward in the spirit of Greg, so we have that. And, you know, we're always thinking between the family and myself and Chang. We're always dreaming of what else to do and how to continue and to preserve and protect the legacy of the great Greg Allman.
Was he happy with the record?
Oh, he was incredibly proud of the record. And he was listening to songs even on his last day and feeling really proud of it and really moved by it. You know, I think he was really aware that it was going to come out without him being here to see it be received well. But, you know, we all sort of made really clear to sort of tell him how special it was and that we would all work to make it a success and to try to represent him in his absence. It was a pretty powerful thing for him to know that that would be coming out not long after, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was able to spend a lot of time with him, as was Galadriel, over the last 6 months or so of his life. And I had seen him about 10 days before he passed and had been scheduled to go down there 2 days after. But the night before he passed, I had forwarded him 3 new tracks that had been mixed. And we spoke for about an hour on the phone, and he listened to the tracks, and we talked about them, and he gave some more instructions. And honestly, at that point, he was ready to let go and said he was ready to let go. So he really gave me final instructions on how he wanted the record to be presented to the world. And we had worked together so closely on these releases in close to 15 years. So he was very specific, but he was incredibly proud of the music. And Cenk and Shannon were with him at the house. And he had also spoken with Jackson Browne, I think, earlier that day or the day before, when Greg had listened to the final 2 mixes of Song for Adam and picked the one that he wanted to go with on the record. So he was very content and very pleased, because for several months he wasn't really listening to the music. He was listening to lots of music, but he, I think, was a little concerned. And once I had told him that I had been out to L.A. with Don Was, and we had put the record up on the big studio and listened to it all and what a masterpiece it was, then he was chomping at the bit to hear it. So he did get to hear it, and the day that he passed, I got to speak to him twice, once earlier in the morning and then actually 10 minutes before he passed, when Cenk called me and said, you know, he was ready to let go. And again, I got on the phone and I told him how much he was loved by everyone, and that he had nothing to worry about with the record and his legacy, that between Galadriel and myself and the family, that we were going to protect it and do everything to continue to promote Greg in the beautiful way that he always promoted himself.
That's pretty incredible that one of the last things that he wanted to know about was how everything sounded and how his legacy was. I mean, that's a real musician.
Yep.
Sacrifices all his life to make music and to be out there, and it was really the thing that brought him joy and brought other people joy, and the fact that he had the power to give other people that joy was such a huge gift that he had, and he knew it, and that's what he wanted to do with his life and his time. And, you know, in some ways, the family got more time with him in the course of his illness than we had in many years, because he spent so much of his time on the road, and it was a great gift to us to have half his final days be spent with him and to see it coming for a long period of time. We actually could make the journey to stay with him and to be there together with him, and it was always about the music his mm-hmm. whole life, from the time he was a teenager. I mean, when you really think about it, from about age 17 forward, there was very little time in his life that he was not performing or writing or in the studio. It was just an absolute all-encompassing passion.
When you said, and it sort of shocked me a few minutes ago, one of you said that he just wanted to get back out on the road. Playing the music is about sharing it with people. So to think that he felt that way about his fans, almost like they were family to him, apparently, is really, it's just precious. It's really special. And it's all part of why we all love you guys so much. You know, it's very, very special. And for him to know that you were going to take good care of all that afterwards must have just been very comforting.
Well, it'll comfort us to have him that way. You know, I mean, that's the great thing, is that the music really does hold so much of his spirit and his heart, that when we miss him, which we do, it's been really painful to lose him, the music is so comforting, you know, and I hope that the fans will receive the album that way, that it's really a way to keep him close and to hear where he was in his last years and what he was thinking about and how he was feeling. And it makes it a little easier because it brings him pretty close.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
certainly the way the brothers' music has always been for me with my dad. I mean, it's been one of my major sources of understanding who they are and what they created. It's going to last. I'm really confident in saying it's going to last forever.